phone. Don't need no speedy car to get me home. Don't need no nothing, all I need is time for the simple life. Go get your butt off of that lazy couch. Put down a laptop and get out of that house. Don't need no nothing, all I need is time for the simple life.
Welcome. You're listening to KRXA 540 AM, and this is Simple Life Radio, stories for the adventurous at heart. I'm your host this hour, Cynthia Fernandez, and we'll be focused on the people of the Central Coast of California, their real life experiences and perspectives. Archives of the show are available online, YouTube, or Podbean, listed under Simple Life Radio, one word. Well, on the Central Coast, we have a variety of activities and people, which make my show really great because I have a lot to choose from. This particular individual I met a number of years ago and have had very high regard for. She has been an undying force in the community to build great values in families and children and individuals of all ages. And I'm tickled that she can be with us here today. Sensei Danielle Smith is the Dojo Cho, which is chief instructor at Aikido of Monterey, where she's dedicated to continuing to uphold the dojo community and developing a community that is inspired by the studying of art of peace. Welcome, Sensei.
Thank you.
It's so nice to have you here.
It's nice to be here. I really appreciate your asking me.
How long have you been in the area?
I've been in the area for 40 years. My starting Aikido and coming to Monterey actually happened just about at the same time.
And what drew you here?
I am from California and for a number of years lived with my mom and her family in Ohio and wanted to come back to California. And someone that I was seeing at that time actually was also coming back to California and came to Monterey, and this is where I came.
Uh-huh. And I understand that you've been an instructor of women's self-defense training. It's a group called Model Mugging. Can you tell us how you got started with that?
I had been doing Aikido for about 10 years, and a group was beginning up in the Bay Area. And our dojo, which is the name that we call the school that I have, wanted to explore something about self-defense, and it was just the beginning of it. And so I got in at the very beginning. So I was one of five martial artists who actually developed model mugging, and my 10 years of training in Aikido really influenced the philosophy that we taught and how we taught it.
You know, I had the opportunity to go to a friend's graduation, a woman who had signed up as a student in the model mugging program. And for listeners who are not familiar with model mugging, it is a it's a very intense training of how to defend yourself, not only physically, but emotionally and psychologically. And one of the values of it is that you are dealing with another instructor who is acting out the role of a perpetrator, and he or she is in full padding, so you just, like, you're full out.
Go full force, that's right.
And I remember going to this graduation. I was living in San Jose at the time, and I just became overwhelmed. Someone sitting in the audience, I wasn't even on the floor, but I had so much adrenaline pumping, and it was just so real. And on the way home, I got in the car, I cried all the way home, and I was like, what is that about? But it's intense to see that happen, and I think it really triggered some things in me in my own past. So as an instructor, what was the intention of model mugging for the community?
Well, the padding and what that was all about is a kind of learning that's called state-dependent learning. And so the people in the course, when they would have the adrenaline and the feeling of the reality of the situation, in that in that situation, they would go full force. And so it trained their body to be really automatic. The course actually went for 30 or more hours over a period of 6 weeks. So there was a lot of repetition in it, where the philosophy was so important, and I feel that it was so healing, is that it was based on in a cycle of violence where a victim needs a victim, needs somebody to be better than, needs to beat up on somebody, that each individual, each person in the that was training in the course choose not to be a victim, rather than turn the tables and victimize the attacker.
Right.
That's the key point, and that's what actually, that was based on my Aikido training, because the aftermath of being a victor and power over anything or anyone else is always fear. And the fear is what keeps us in a cycle of violence and needing to repeat it over and over and over again.
Because we don't want to be the perpetrator, but we're sort of afraid that that's what we're going to do if we get carried away.
Or we're afraid that there will be retribution. Mm. You know, there's model mugging, the way that we taught it, took the judgment out of, well, do I deserve this? Do they deserve to be angry? Anything like that, those kinds of decisions. And it was really choosing not to be a victim and really staying with that and going and getting help then after knocking someone out. That's the other big important thing. It was a knockout defense. It wasn't something that involved anything more than that.
But you need to incapacitate them so you can get help.
Exactly. Yeah. You need to have somebody totally unconscious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I took a class several years ago, but certainly after my little brush with model mugging, I enrolled for a class at MPC that was women's self-defense training a number of years ago. And it wasn't the 30-hour training. It was probably 10 or 12 hours, but it had the same sort of intensity. And I don't know if there's a program you would recommend to folks that is a really good program to get a sense of empowerment for yourself as we're speaking about this, that's just good to have, that body memory.
Yeah. I would recommend that if anybody does take a self-defense course, that it involve some defense from being on the ground, because most encounters end up with some part of it being on the ground. And so to be able to defend oneself from there rather than have that be that they've lost because they ended up on the ground.
Yeah, and then they don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's an important part of a self-defense class. And then to have really simple techniques that one can learn in a course. Aikido or a martial art is something that people may do for years and years and years. I have a number of students who have trained for more than two decades in Aikido, but a self-defense class, you want to get something really fast and be able to just go right ahead and knock somebody out.
Get the basics.
Mm-hmm. There's a program in the Bay Area. What keeps coming to my mind is Bay Area model mugging, and if someone Googled that, they might get that. The name of it is different than that, and I can't think of what the name of the
right
one in the Bay Area, but it's actually modeled after this.
Okay. All right. And I'll try to locate that information and bring it up and share it later. So in terms of Aikido is really a word that has a meaning. Broken down into three syllables. Can you share that meaning with us?
Yes, it's of course Japanese, and the founder of Aikido was Japanese. So it started in Japan. It came into the United States in the 50s through actually a demonstration in San Jose, I think in about 1956. Now it's all over the world. But the I, the first character I, means coming together, a confluence. It also means love, and ki is energy. It's all energy. It's the universal energy. It's the energy that runs through our bodies, and the energy that runs through any of us. You know, it's something that we share in common. And then do means a pathway. It's the same as the Chinese word Dao. A lot of people are used to or familiar with hearing that. But Aikido means a way of bringing together or uniting energy. And
For peace.
Well.
Or harmlessness or.
Yeah, that was the founder's intent was, and that's what we practice. It's being able to find our own connection with our own sense of peace. And then even if there's someone attacking who's choosing to attack and chooses to, or for some reason feels separation, in order for somebody to attack, they have to feel separate from us or whatever the object of their attack is. And what we practice over and over and over again is having that be an opportunity to actually experience the oneness and the connection so that our movements are guided by that. Our movements are movements that actually take something to a resolution. The movements in Aikido go to where there's room for the energy to flow rather than trying to block off
the attack. Confront it or block it.
That's correct, yeah.
And we're in studio today with Sensei Danielle Smith of Aikido of Monterey. This is Simple Life Radio on KRXA 540 AM. Sensei, I wonder if you could help our listeners with the meaning of the word or title sensei.
Sensei means teacher. That's the simplest. The founder of Aikido is referred to as O-sensei, which means great teacher.
Ah, mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, all the, it's the title. All the children in the classes call me sensei.
Yeah.
It's like, to them, it's my name.
Yes. You don't mind if I call you sensei?
No, not at all. It actually kind of triggers in or reminds me of, it brings, if I feel a responsibility when I hear the word sensei.
Yeah. And I have been to the dojo a number of times. I was a student there for a short time, and then also my granddaughter, Bella, has been a student there as well. And one of the things that I so enjoy is seeing the families come in, sometimes in the same class because one of the parents may be an instructor. Mm-hmm. But even if they're not, there's a quality of, I don't know, collaboration, communication. There's a harmony within the group. And I especially love how the children are encouraged and supported in showing respect to their classmates, to their teachers, and to O-sensei on their way in and in the way out of the dojo. Mm-hmm. Is that a key element in the training itself?
Well, it is. It is an important part of the training. And with the children, one of the things that I explain from the very beginning, or if you would ask a child, why do you bow? Well, we bow for respect. And what are you respecting? And they'll say, we're respecting ourselves and others.
Mm.
So it's important to me that they understand that every time they bow and have that sense of respect, that they actually are taking that instant there at that moment and realizing that they're in that bow, they're respecting themselves and they're sharing that out with others.
And isn't that a wonderful basis to keep peace among living things?
Yeah, it's the essential piece
there.
That and gratitude, which is the other thing, that the bow, there's a lot of bowing, which comes from a culture that's not Western.
True.
However, I feel it's so integral in what it is that we wish to communicate in Aikido. So I think it's a really good and important part.
We're going to continue our conversation with Sensei Danielle Smith in a few minutes. We're going to take a station break. We'll come back to Simple Life on KRXA 540. Stay with us. And we're back in studio with Sensei Danielle Smith. This is Simple Life Radio, and we had that break come up really quick, didn't we, Sensei?
Yeah.
We were talking about respect and children and having them be involved in training that allows them to respect not only the other person, but themselves as well. And I wonder, given your length of time teaching Aikido in Monterey, if you have any real-life experiences that you might share in terms of how children have found something they didn't expect, a situation they didn't expect, that they actually were able to draw upon things they'd learned in class that resolved it in a peaceful way.
Well, there's the story of Layla and the bully, and that is being bullied at school, and then and learning, taking Aikido, gaining confidence, and having it happen again, and somebody coming up to push her around. And instead of actually fighting, actually inviting that person to say, you know, say, hey, why don't we just walk through the playground together and just be friends? Let's do something. And just with that invitation, changing because of her confidence, because she knew how to fall, she knew how to actually throw the person, but because of her confidence, she was able to actually turn the situation around, and that person moved from being a bully to being her friend.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah.
And the age of the Layla?
Elementary school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, bullying is in the news often now. It's mm-hmm. it's quite a significant part of school life and actually neighborhood situations as well. So in your sharing of that story, you mentioned that it was her confidence.
That's right. She was able to move forward and to be open and inviting because
she wasn't afraid.
She may have had adrenaline.
Yeah.
But she was but if she was pushed, she could fall. If she was pushed, she would be able to take the energy and actually have the other person fall. She knew how to do that.
And that's because these are things that are practiced in class routinely.
Yeah, that's right. And so the change towards peace always is something that happens inside us, and that's what happened inside her, is that change.
And so would this be another example like model mugging, where the routines in class are actually recorded on a body level, so you don't have to think of what to do, your body just automatically finds its balance?
That's right, yeah. And with the children, I do bring up about the philosophy, and they know that they're not practicing hurting someone. They do know that, but really, their classes are conducted in a kind of way where the respect is there towards them and everybody, and where I move. The classes start going in a certain direction where I feel like that they need to be more active and move around, and so I move the class in that direction. Then have them be able to contact their quiet center and listen to their center. So be able to gain a kind of a control over their own bodies in that way. And they're taught from an Aikido perspective. And so
meaning that you use principles of peace and harmony in the techniques of teaching.
In the techniques of teaching, that's correct.
I love that. Mm. For those of you listening, we are speaking with Sensei Danielle Smith of Aikido Monterey, and they are located in Monterey on 10th Street. The phone number there is 831-375-8106. You can find their website online. It is aikidomonterey.com. Mm-hmm. So, aside from children's programs, which start as young as
four,
you also have a couple of children's programs there offered.
We have a program for 4, 5, and 6 year olds that's called Aiki Mites, mm-hmm. and then the Aiki Kids begins at 7 and goes on up to 14.
And then there is a couple of adult programs as well.
There is an adult program, right? Yeah, and that's people come in as beginners, and then as soon as possible, they're encouraged to train in general classes. We have classes 7 days a week, and I always feel that 2 times a week is a good minimum.
To maintain.
Yeah, and then actually if somebody can train 3 times a week, then they actually start to build energy from it. It affects their ki.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Can you say more about how it builds energy for them? Does that mean they develop stamina or sort of an awareness?
Well, all of that. Rather than train and be tired, they train, you know, which sometimes can become vigorous, and they vigorously train, and they feel energized by it, and they have more energy available. They have more energy available to themselves.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's something to look forward to.
But 2 times a week is fine. And then there are people who've trained for years, and then they have children, and, you know, they'll train once a week just to stay in touch with it. And then one of the nice things about being a dojo, a school for 40 years, is that people come back after years. Their lives take them other places. They talk about how they've used Aikido, and they come back and train. So I'm training grandchildren of people that actually started out as kids 40 years ago. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the people that I've interacted anyway through the dojo have been people who you might think of a special teacher you knew growing up in school that not only did a good job at teaching, but they also took it after hours. Mm. And in their own ways, unrelated to the classroom, they found things to do in their sphere of influence that were more like mentoring relationships, looking after those who needed some special help and assistance. And I find that to be the case with the Aikido of Monterey teachers.
The teachers at Aikido of Monterey are all wonderful. I have, Dennis Evans began the same time I did. He's the only person at the dojo who was also celebrating their 40th anniversary. But we have wonderful teachers that, actually Mitch Johnson Sensei also teaches the juniors. But they've all trained, as I said, for more than 20 years and are dedicated to their own training, which is a really essential piece of the puzzle. And from their own depth of training, they offer that to other people. It really is an offering. And they're all very, very good at it.
And open 7 days a week, that's quite a commitment. Mm. I know that people go on vacation and whatnot, but... Mm-hmm. You know, at the bookstore, Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden, Paul and I have quite a responsibility to keep the store hours open and available for other people so I can relate. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until 2012 that we actually stopped being open 7 days a week to give ourselves a little break.
Well, I have to say, you're open a full day, whereas we'll be open for classes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Good point. That's true. And there is an element as part of the Obon Festival every year that includes Aikido as a demonstration. Can you speak a little about that?
Well, we are grateful every year to be invited to the Obon because I feel really good because there's a cultural connection. It's a Japanese festival. And I feel that it's a way of actually supporting that whole expression in the Japanese community and connecting it up with everyone else. And the people in the dojo love it. They put so much energy, even brand new students, into doing something that they can get on the mat and demonstrate. And then I love to bring the kids, the Aiki Mites. This year I was teaching a seminar in another city, and so I didn't have the Aiki Mites there for the Obon, but they don't practice at all. They just come on the stage, and I say the stand like a star or sit like a mountain, the same things we do in the Aiki Mites class, and they go ahead and do it, and they're the stars of the show. So it's really fun to do the Obon.
And so the audience can actually see and get a sense of...
At all levels.
Yeah.
Yeah, at all levels. Yeah. And then I have the privilege of being at the mic. I do a little bit on stage, but I have a privilege of being at the mic and watching. And as I see it and I'm inspired, I get to say how it fits into Aikido and what they're seeing.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it's very nice.
And so when is the next Oban Festival?
It'll be in July.
We just had it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Although the time flies.
Time flies. Yeah. We'll put it on your calendars now. It's not to be missed. And so we had spoken earlier about model mugging. I did look it up here. Mm-hmm. There is a website, which is modelmugging.org. And it is model mugging, self-defense, be the victor and not a victim. There is a phone number there. So anybody who's interested, you can go online. I'm sure there's more than one training facility. And as Sensei was mentioning earlier, it's really important to choose your teachers wisely. Yeah. As a teacher of Aikido Monterey, Sensei, what is your intention or your hope to create in the community?
Well, what from the inside the dojo, we like through the Obon Festival, and also from with our holiday giving that we do every year, we really want to. I want to have the people in the dojo actually feel the connection to the other community, and not us and them, not that
separation.
Like we have the secret and the peace and the, you know, nobody else has it. But actually, in fact, it's our recognizing that that we all have it and that we need to just recognize it in ourselves, and we need to recognize it in others and have that kind of caring, that's actually what builds community. And so that's what our goal is. And so that's what... from inside the dojo out, we connect up with the community.
And do you use things like meditation or physical fitness?
We do meditation. Actually, we have a meditation class that's conducted by Scott Stillinger, who's a meditation teacher, and on every Saturday morning, and that's open to the public and free of charge. He's done that for almost 15 years now at the dojo.
Oh, wonderful. And It's Saturday morning at what time?
It's at from 7 to 9:50. Uh-huh. No, from 7 to 8:50.
Okay.
7 to 8:50. And you can come in at any time. And it's a combination of walking and sitting, meditation and instruction. And then once a month, we have a special focus meditation. And we have the same length of time in an afternoon.
And what might a special focus be?
Well, it is the meditation, but instead of early in the morning where some people are not able to make, it's from 11:45 to 1.
Uh-huh.
So
you could sleep in and then still...
Yeah, you could sleep in and then come in, which has got a value. That's right.
Well, that's wonderful. And I saw on your website, Sensei, that you also teach Pilates.
I do. Speak to that, I do want to say that with the meditation, Aikido is a form of meditation.
Uh-huh.
It's a considered moving meditation. It's the training is the focus, and being present. And you do one movement and with another person and that may have felt good or it may have felt bad. You totally let that go and you're in this moment.
Mm.
You're in the moment. So it's like seated meditation in that. You just let those thoughts go by.
Yes.
And keep on settling and being in the moment. And that is the training. It's being in the moment and not defining it as, you know, or start to judge the moment or wish that you had a different
moment.
Partner
yeah.
or, yeah, a different moment. Actually, what Aikido is really being able to embrace the moment and not resist it. Aikido is also known as the art of non-resistance.
Oh.
And so it comes down to, at the very most, elemental detail, which includes not resisting this moment, not fighting it, not wishing it were different, but to either somewhere in actually being in it and being able to just move with it, that the next moment take place.
Mm-hmm.
And so
there's a real acceptance and being in the flow.
That's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's exactly being in the flow, not to be confused with being a victim and just accepting something
going
in a kind of way,
something.
Going along with
yeah.
something. It's not like that. It's just that we practice it with a physical attack, because that seems to be the hardest way to actually get our peace. If we can feel and stay connected with our peace, even in the face of someone attacking us, someone else considering us an enemy, then that's really good practice. That's good practice. So every day, every class, there's an attack coming, and then there's moving in a kind of way that lets the technique develop. People learn forms, physical forms to practice with, to have something to practice with in the very beginning. But those forms are representations, they're ways to practice connection with that flow, connection with the movement of another person, connection with where the energy can go. There are ways to practice that, and eventually the forms become more and more open or eventually just disappear.
Yeah, you know, you're reminding me, it was a number of years ago that I trained with you mm-hmm. at the dojo, and I had to leave for physical reasons. I had real problems with my back, and I couldn't quite moderate that.
Mm-hmm.
But after I left, I was still using the principles mm-hmm. and the philosophy of Aikido in relationships,
mm-hmm.
in conversation,
mm-hmm.
you know, stepping off the line, mm-hmm. not retaliating,
mm-hmm.
Using the person's energy. If they wanted to come at me, just let them and not take it in, you know,
mm-hmm.
not engage with that directly,
mm-hmm.
but also observe it and have compassion for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the principles of Aikido are very, very deep.
Mm-hmm.
There was a book you were going to recommend for people who are interested in having a very comprehensive understanding of Aikido.
Yeah, there's a brand new book out. And it's just if there's any one book that anybody would get to learn about, not only learn about Aikido, but actually feel the inspiration and the sense of hope and peace that we can have in our lives, whether you do the Aikido or not. It's a book that was released on Tuesday. It's called Journey to the Heart of Aikido, and it's by a very dear friend, Linda Holiday Sensei, who is the chief instructor of the school in Santa Cruz. And it's a more than 10-year labor of love. She's very fluent in Japanese, and she's the translator for her teacher, also one of my principal teachers. Is my principal teacher in Japan, Motomichi Ano Sensei. And he has a way of teaching classes that really speak to what can happen and what's there in the way that the heart can open. And when I train with Ano Sensei, I feel the same kind of hope. And when I first started training in Aikido, we felt that Aikido was going to change the world. And I don't know, I think, who knows what influences how the world is and has developed in 40 years, but it's that really that sense of peace. And when I train with Ano Sensei, I feel that same feeling. I get that inspiration, and I take it into my classes and love it, because I can teach from that place. When you read this book, the same feeling comes through. And whether you take it to the Aikido mat, or take it to your family, wherever you take it, or even take it when you listen to the news on the radio, or when you decide to turn the radio off and settle into where you know that there's peace in the world, because you can feel it in your heart. And so it's Journey to the Heart of Aikido, and You can get it at soon at Pilgrim's Way. Yes?
That's right, Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden. I'm sure Paul, at the very moment that you're speaking, Sensei, is looking for the next delivery to come on into the store. And we were mentioning it would be a really fun thing to set up a book signing, perhaps at the dojo.
Absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That would be lovely. Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue with Sensei Daniel Smith in a few moments. It is time for another break. This is Simple Life Radio. Stay with us. We're back in studio with Sensei Daniel Smith. This is Simple Life Radio. We've had a wonderful conversation. I'm thinking we might need to continue with it at some point. But Sensei, I wanted to ask you about the role that you play as a woman in this particular martial art. I know there's a lot of men in martial art as well, but the author of the book that you just shared with us is also a sensei in Santa Cruz, a woman, and yourself. How is that for you to hold that real sort of strength or warrior protector kind of role and yet be female?
Well, I'm grateful to be in an art that even the uniform, it's from the samurai uniform, but you know, the hakama, or the skirt-like, pant-like garment that we wear, is in the shape of a triangle that comes up from the earth and is to draw energy from the earth. And so it's got that kind of feminine element to it. When I first started in Aikido, I had read about Aikido and thought, if I ever go someplace that there's an Aikido class, I want to take that, because it talked about a kind of energy that wasn't based on physical strength. And I thought, okay, good. And I came to Monterey, and one was just starting out. And I joined it and just never thought that I would ever, I don't know, it never occurred to me to ever stop. I remember after training for about 5 years, I reflected and I thought, I've never done anything this long. And now it's been 40 years. So it's not even a question anymore. But there were very few women. It was new to the United States, and I saw there were no women black belts around on the West Coast. Everybody, the highest ranked people at that time, I'm a sixth degree black belt, and the highest ranked people that at that time, including my teacher, were third degree black belts.
Oh my.
Who really are, that's a respectable rank, but it's not even considered teacher.
Ah.
In our dojo, we have third degree black belts. And so the art has really grown. But I remember a time where our teacher was showing us films from Japan, mm-hmm. and only black belts in the United States wear the hakama, the skirt-like thing. Uniform, and a woman came across the screen who was training in Japan, and she had a hakama on, and somebody, one of the men in the group, blurted out, "You mean there are women in black belts in Japan?" And that was kind of the thinking. After I'd been training for about 4 months, there are three women that came from Japan. Linda Holiday was one of them, and she was a first degree black belt, and she also came with another woman, Mary Heine, who was a third degree black belt, and they were the first black belts I'd seen. And I established a women in action Aikido class, and they were staying in Santa Cruz, and I had Mary Heine come down, and once a week, Mary Heine Sensei, and teach a women's class down here. And and then one of the women that joined that class is now, her school is in San Leandro. She trained many years in Japan, and she's one of the very highest ranked women in the world, one level higher than I am, and a longtime friend of all these years. It was a gradual thing that we just had more and more women leadership, and always, because of the nature of Aikido, always supporting each other in it, not trying to be ambitious and get faster promotions than someone else. That never came into it. The men had their own kinds of conditioned reactions that at that time in the early 70s people were becoming really aware of. I have to say that my teachers here in the United States, my teacher here in the United States is Frank Duran, a sensei. He was a seventh Dan, and he's always been supportive. And what I had to learn as a teacher and leader was to trust my own mastery as it developed, and start to trust my own training. And as I would talk about something that or something would just come through me that I would not only demonstrate but speak about, to not own it myself, but to really feel that as the Aikido and something that we all share. As I did that more and more, I felt more and more confident and stronger because it wasn't about something I was making up. It was something about something that I was able to open up to and express, see in other people, support other people in gaining that mastery in going up and getting more and more being able to be teachers in their own right,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, does that answer you?
It does, and more. And what you just shared reminds me, or at least it sounds to me like you're describing someone in their mastery, not taking it into an ego place mm-hmm. within themselves, but mm-hmm. rather holding that center, knowing that's the self-respect, the mm-hmm. the inner peace, mm-hmm. and then having whatever comes through them be what they facilitate.
When in the children's classes and also in the adult classes, whenever we have somebody that's going for a promotion, I always remind us of the privilege that we have of sharing this promotion that this person's going through, and that every time someone identifies themselves, they feel that they've gone farther in Aikido, it affects the whole group of us, and we all go farther. And then we tie it, I'll tie it in with even people who aren't there in the dojo, holding that circle, and then letting that circle move out.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some way, the more that any individual opens up to Aikido, it affects everything, all the things that go out there that we might celebrate or feel fear about.
Mm-hmm,
or,
mm-hmm.
or it's so it's something that we're able to do that actually goes out and affects other things.
Have you, as an individual, ever had a physical situation where you've needed to draw on your martial arts to keep yourself safe?
Well, it's hard to pick out, to choose something sort of all the time. I remember when my son was very little and I was on a beach in Southern California, like kind of a deserted beach, and I was with my three-year-old son, and and then somebody came and was clearly harassing me. I hadn't taken self-defense, but I had trained in Aikido for almost 10 years. What I did is I got up and I started doing Tai Chi right there. I just started doing it, and he went, he took a rock and threw it into the water. He was really, I think, a disturbed person, and he took a rock and threw it into the water, and he said, oh, some people you just can't intimidate.
Oh, and interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting choice of words.
It was Tai Chi, but it was me having trained for 10 years in Aikido that chose the action I chose.
Ah.
Which had to do with doing something, being aware that my child was there and keeping my child safe and doing something. And it
worked.
It worked. Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, I'm sure this is a difficult question, but I have to ask, what is your all-time favorite book?
That is a difficult question because there are so many that at different phases, different times in my life, I felt really influenced by, you know, from early on with the Carlos Castaneda and the Tolkien trilogy, and I read to my son four times the Chronicles of Narnia, and you know, on and on. And then for the last two decades, I've read A Course in Miracles, which when the first time I picked it up sounded as though it was talking about Aikido to me,
uh-huh.
And that's how I understood it, and
yeah.
So that's always been there. Many. The wonderful books, and to think about choosing a book is like trying to choose a day in my life that's been the most important. There have been some that stand out, but they're all together in that. So.
And what are you reading now?
I'm always reading a number of books. So my novel now is from the Outlander series with Diane Gabaldon, and I'm also reading Source Field Investigations.
I love
Will
that
Cox.
One. Oh,
me
my
too.
Goodness. I got that on Spoken Audio.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's supposed
it's,
to be
yeah,
good to listen
it's
to.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I have to listen to some of them over and mm-hmm. over again. He just goes on and on.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm enjoying that. One book that I'm reading right now that I just I read it before I go to bed at night, and it's just it was given to me just on my birthday, so it was at the end of August. But it's Love Letter to the Earth by Thich Nhat Hanh.
Oh, beautiful!
I just feel that each page of it is transformational. I feel so nourished by it. So and I'm reading Sacred Geometry and The Flower of Life, and got books all over that I pick up and read.
You're a woman after my own heart.
And you're in a bookstore.
I know, and
wow.
People say, have you read all these books? I say, I haven't read them all, but you should see my night table. It's
yes.
I have to get it down from 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
You know, we Paul and I work very hard. The business that we're in, it's not a bad business. It's a good business,
mm-hmm.
but it's very labor intensive, and the level of detail is immense.
Mm,
so mm-hmm. I love to harvest from people like yourself, you know, their thoughts and feelings and perspectives about what is out there in print. We're very lucky to be in a time and a place where we have information overload at mm-hmm. our access.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have electronic books.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have both electronic books and, you know, text paper books. And then I hear from folks in the store who come in and say, I want to feel it. I want to smell mm-hmm. it. I want to make my own mm-hmm. notes in it. And I can relate to that.
Yeah.
So I don't get to read all the books I want to read, even though I do work in a bookstore. But it's a lovely place to be.
And I want to say that 40 years ago, when I was first starting Aikido, the only place that one could acquire an Aikido book on the peninsula was at Pilgrim's Way Bookstore.
I'm so glad to know that. And congratulations on the 40th year
yes,
for Aikido of Monterey.
Yes, this is our 40th anniversary. Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for being with
thank
us today.
Thank you.
We'll be here again with you next Saturday from 4 to 5 on Simple Life. Zabadab, 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 zab